everybody. Welcome to the Transpose Podcast. I am the fabulous and incredible Robin Allura. Joining me is the equally fabulous and pretty amazing herself, Stephanie Bree. Stephanie, how the hell are you?
Hey, everybody. Well, I'm getting better, but I've been down the last few days. I'm not going to lie.
Well,
but I'm, you know, in a good mood today because it's podcast day, so that helps.
That's all right. Podcast day always helps. Now, I'm going to start the show by apologizing just in case. My voice gets a little raspy. I was a little hoarse today.
Mm-hmm.
So if it drops out, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Hopefully we won't have that issue, but I'm feeling a lot better. So, yeah. So, good. I'm glad you're feeling better, Steph.
Yeah, well, we won't talk about it, but, you know, I went a few days without my medications, and that was a mistake.
Yeah, that's a not fun thing, huh?
No, it was a nightmare.
Yeah, but, yeah, let's make sure we don't do that again.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, we're going to kind of talk about, I don't know about heavy topics this week. We've got a couple of pretty good topics.
I think loaded might be a good word.
Loaded is probably a pretty good word.
Yeah, these ones are going to be divisive for some people.
It's funny you say that word, because that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about divisiveness and a division within the trans community. Something we've kind of tapped around and danced around it a little bit. And we've talked about it in other regards, but we're going to kind of talk a little bit about, essentially we're going to talk a little bit about trans people turning on trans people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to talk about, because one of the things that is a source of division is HRT, hormone replacement therapy. So we're going to kind of give a overview and a little clarification on a few different types. Now, I'm going to say this before we get into that part later in the show. We aren't going to get into every type of medication because in my research, there's a shit ton of them. Right. And it all depends on your doctors and stuff. But and then we've got a pretty good top five. That's going to be, well, kind of relaxing.
I hope so.
Let's hope so, because that would be fun, right?
It is.
All right. So, you know, let's start by talking about this division within our community. And we don't really talk about how the trans community kind of can be put against itself. And there's a lot of external adversaries that we've got right now. We have political and religious groups that they just don't like us because of who knows why.
Mm-hmm.
In the political ring, there's a few people that don't like us because it's the cool thing to do, or in some cases, people think we're a fad,
right,
or a phase.
Then you got the super straights and the TERFs who hate us for stupid reasons.
Exactly. You have those groups. And all these groups, now, everybody, we've talked a little bit in the past several episodes, and at least we've dropped mention of anti-trans legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been very vocal about our displeasure on that on this show. And we've also kind of told people that this is just a small thing, but it's being pushed into the spotlight in a lot of ways. And so what's happening, and of course, this is June when this is being recorded and everything, which is Pride Month. And so it's even a little more under the microscope for the trans community. But we've got all these adversaries. There is the LGBTQ plus community. And that's a huge group. But even now within that group, we are, as the trans community goes, starting to see fractures. And we're starting to see segments of the lesbian and the gay communities, and some of the other communities that are part of the plus, because if we sat here with all the letters, we'd be here for a week just going through all the damn letters. But now they're starting to say we don't belong, that the trans community doesn't belong. And that's a lot of adversaries when you've got that coming at you, right?
Exactly. We're like one of the most marginalized groups within the marginalized group.
Exactly. And the problem is that because of all that negativity, we're starting to see that the trans community is kind of turning on itself. There's a lot of reasons. Now, some of these are political. I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details, but there has been political leaders, the president, who has been trying to tell the trans community the same message. Don't lose hope. We stand with you. And there's other groups and other powerful individuals who are saying the same thing, and the trans community's kind of gotten kind of tired of hearing those pretty words and keep saying, and all we say is, if you're with us, do something. Show us. Well, that's started a major division, I think, because I know I got involved in a Twitter thread before I took my Twitter break. And that was a big issue. It was all based on politics. And even though things got said in certain ways, it boiled down to the trans community being attacked by the trans community, because there's a bunch of us, myself included, we are freaking tired of hearing the pretty words. We don't know what these individuals who keep saying them can do. And maybe we need to educate ourselves a little bit, maybe not. But at the same time, those individuals that are saying those words, they need to do whatever they can to show us something other than standing behind a podium or in front of a camera and saying those words. So our community is starting to fracture in that case of, we want these powerful people to do something other than tell us to be hopeful. And then there's a group of the community going, but what the hell can they do? Tell them what you want them to do. And of course, we attack each other. And that's not always a good thing. Another thing that I think causes this division, and it's something that just pisses me the hell off, because not only is it stupid, and I know there's a lot of people who are using this in an ironic sense, or I don't want to say joking, but you know, they're making fun of it. But there's a thing that floats around on Facebook and on Twitter and even on Instagram, you know, the different social media platforms. And the question that it's simply is a question. Are you trans enough? First off, what the fuck does that even mean? Nothing. It means nothing. We've talked numerous times about how being trans is different for everybody. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. I got, before I created my Spider's Lair and came out public, well, I mean, before I came out publicly on the Spider's Lair, when I was still under the table, or under the...
whatever. In the closet?
Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say.
Uh-huh.
Anyways, I had my other account, and I was attacked by a trans person who told me I was transphobic, and I was like, wait a second, how am I being transphobic? And they just ripped me to shreds. And it boiled down to a movie I liked. and I showed support for. I'm not going to get into any more specific than that, but it was an eye opener for me. I was like, no.
No.
And but it was one of those also, I was still, I'm not going to say an egg or whatever, but I was still, you know, I was still
wrestling
figuring out
with
what
it.
Trans meant to me. And it was a turnoff because it was like, I don't need somebody telling me I'm not really trans because I like this movie or what that represents or what it means or whatever.
Yeah.
Because they were like, well, you can't like, and it was one of those things that it's like, you can't like that movie because it automatically makes you transphobic. And I was like, how? And then it was like a 3-day fight. And finally, I just ended up blocking them. And I assume they blocked me because I just gave up.
Well, and that's the thing is to say someone isn't trans enough is just stupid because we've talked numerous times on here about it, about being trans and transgenderism,
mm-hmm.
which I swear to God, I'm going to copyright that. Is about it being, well, for all intents and purposes, it's a spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
It is. There's different levels. There's trans individuals who they do the traditional transition. There is those that don't. There's all kinds of different things. So to say that you are, is somebody or are they trans enough is dumb. It really is. And that leads to, you know, as we've talked about in previous episodes, things such as imposter syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know when I hear that question, that triggers my anomaly disorder. So I don't feel like I feel like I'm an outsider. I don't feel like I'm part of the community because what the hell, you know?
And, you know, right here in this house, Robin and I are best friends just about. Sisters, even.
We're sisters.
And we've been, I mean, our differences have, we've clashed over our own differences. We have not been like, oh, you're not truly trans.
Nope.
But we've had those moments where it was like, she said things to me that made me feel like crap. And I've said things to her that it was like, you know, well, I thought you were a woman. And she responded in kind. I am a woman.
Yeah.
And it was one of those. It was exactly like what you're just saying. It was one of those, like, you know, it wasn't intentional at those times, but some of these things are.
Right.
But we've seen, like, there, you know, there's no true expression of what it means to be a trans woman.
No, there isn't. Or a trans man. I mean,
or what our experiences are like.
Right. We talk a lot about trans feminine issues.
Mm-hmm.
We do kind of not, we kind of leave out our trans men friends and brothers in this community. And, you know, their struggles are going to be completely different than a trans woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so how can you say someone is or isn't trans enough? Well, that's all going to be personal preference. And then we see the community attack itself. And somebody will say, I'm going to use an example, then, Steph, I'm not poking fun at you, but somebody says, oh, you have to be a trans person. If you're a trans person, you're a trans woman. You have to like rom-coms. No, I can't stand the damn things personally. Does that mean I'm no longer trans enough? And a lot of times, there are members of our community that's exactly how they feel. Well, you don't like rom-coms. You don't like Britney Spears. You don't like this. You don't like chick things. And that, yes, I just did my air quotes. Because chick things is a stupid thing.
First of all, it's sexist.
It's very sexist. And in that part of what the trans community fights is sexism. Mm-hmm. You know, you're free to be yourself and like what you want and like what you like. And that doesn't just mean your body or your sexual partners. That means everything. That means TV shows, music, food. You're free to be who you are. 100%. No judgment ever. But we see that because of that, sometimes the community is starting to turn on itself a bit. HRT is another thing, and it kind of falls under that. Are you trans enough? I talked to someone who was telling me about some threads that they were a part of and got involved in, and they mentioned that one of the things that was discussed about HRT, somebody asked a question about, I believe it was taking pills, taking Spiro and estradiol as in pill form.
Mm-hmm.
And suddenly a big debate got started that person wasn't trans enough because they're not getting injections. And injections means you're superior. If you're getting injections, you are more trans. And that's bullshit. We should all just be happy we're getting our damn hormones. Because yeah. In some places, it's becoming so hard that they can't even get them.
Right, not just for kids.
Not just for kids.
I had an experience where we were talking about how I knew I was trans, and she said, well, couldn't you like all those girly things and still be a boy, gay boy or whatever? And I was like, no, I'm not trans because I like Barbie and, you know, Care Bears. It's just, I like those things because I'm trans, because I identify as a girl.
Well, I mean,
it's just the things I like, but there's a lot of guy, quote unquote, guy things I like too. Not admittedly as many as you, but enough.
Really? Are you going to take that shot?
No.
Okay.
I'm just showing out how different we are.
Uh-huh. Eric, you need to calm the fuck down, okay?
Oh, boy. All I'm saying is the things you like doesn't make you one thing. It doesn't define your gender.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't at all. And to say someone is, you know, trans enough and start to attack each other is just dumb. It really is, especially when we have so many external adversaries coming at us. We've got to show that solidarity. We really do. Now, there's a lot of different places we see these things. And we see, when you start going through social media, something I've learned and I've started to notice, and I don't know about you, Steph, but I've noticed that there are different groups of people on different social platforms, and the communities in each of those platforms, while we're all transgender, they are dramatically different. We talked about trans Twitter,
mm-hmm,
and how that community usually is pretty unified. Occasionally we have these instances with, like, okay, the hormone thing or a political thing. But I've noticed that it's almost the opposite on Facebook. It's some of the trans community is quite nasty to other trans individuals who are trying to reach out looking for help.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make any sense. Why are we going to be nasty to each other? If we're going to be nasty to each other and we're going to attack each other, how can we expect the rest of them to jump in? And how can we expect the Republican Party to accept us? How can we expect any other group to respect us? If we can't keep from turning on ourselves. I mean, for God's sakes, we're not cuttlefish.
Right. I know some of it. I think, I don't want to say to play devil's advocate here, but I think, to be fair, in some instances, people are have different, we all have different experiences. We're a cohesive community in the sense that we have a similar experience. We're trans. But, like, there are some areas where you're going to have people who just don't, they either hide their transness, and they're coming from the evangelical community, people who just still hate themselves or hate that they're, so they either hold it in or they're only out online, and then they flock to these community, they flock to places like Facebook or Reddit or wherever, where like-minded people are. Whereas the people who are out invisible tend to flow to the places that, you know, we're all out invisible, I guess.
Right, but the question then becomes, how do we combat this division? Because, as I've said several times already, we are bombarded by adversaries in these recent times that we really can't afford to be divided. I mean, it's one thing.
No, we need unity.
We do. We gotta have unity, and it's one thing when we are standing together, being attacked by, say, the LGB community.
Right.
Okay. But if we start the trans community starts attacking itself, well, quite honestly, like you said, we are a marginalized group within a marginalized group. It's estimated that population, I think, is like 1% are trans. 1%. So if we're fighting and cussing and screaming and going after each other, how do we combat this? Well,
it's like Tananda said last week, on the show,
yeah.
She's like, even if every one of us spoke with a unified voice, we're not loud enough to be noticed, so we really can't be fracturing that voice.
No, we can't, because if you start fracturing that voice, now we're getting quieter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's going to be some of us, like myself, which, you know, I'm pretty loud anyway, but you really want to get attention, give me a bullhorn. Everybody in the entire city's going to know what's going on. But I mean, when we start fracturing, it's just very hard to say we're fighting together and we stand together. Now, there's going to be things like politics that we're never all going to agree on.
Right.
You know, I know that there are different political views. I know I've run into other trans people who have different views than I do on certain topics.
I've met conservative evangelical trans people who vote Republican, but they're as out as you can get.
Yep. And I mean,
it's one of those things. It's like, you know, everyone's different.
Well, hell, you and I are different.
Yeah.
We talk about certain political issues, and I mean, we try not to, but normally I just look at you and go, just shut up. Now you've pissed me off. No, not really. She doesn't really do that.
When I was still a journalist or aspiring to get back into it, I was a lot more careful about being political openly, even with you.
Yeah.
But I've since I've shifted more into an advocacy role, you know, and fighting for change, I'm like, no, I'm going to share my views. But yeah. I don't want to be divisive about it. I don't want to be like, you have to like this or else you're not truly trans or truly gay or LGBT or whatever.
Right.
I've really tried to avoid that. You know, I'll take a hard line stance on a handful of issues, you know, but I'm not going to get into them here.
No, don't get onto them here, because then we'll never have this show over.
Right. But I'm a rational adult, you know, and I'm willing to listen to, even if it's utter bullshit, say your piece.
Say your piece.
Say
There's
it
the door.
Peacefully, though.
That's the thing, too.
If
saying
you say,
it peacefully.
I don't care how ignorant you are, especially if it's rooted in ignorance, I'm willing to give you a little bit of a pass, because it's like, okay, you just didn't know any better. Now let's talk about why you're wrong and see if I can educate you.
That's right.
Which is something I've noticed a lot of trans people are posting constantly, like, I don't want to have to educate you. I don't want to be the one to have to train you or teach you these things to their friends and family. And kind of, in a way, we do, because we're their only link to the trans community. We might be an unintentional ambassador to the world.
Well, we've talked about that in previous episodes of being
right.
an unintentional activist. And
right.
once you're trans and you're out, you kind of are.
And that's not to say you can't get frustrated. I get frustrated. And you're allowed to say, I think we're all allowed to say, you know what? You got Google, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
But Google is also, you got to remember, Google's weighted heavily towards, you know, whatever the most vocal voice is. And if the information out there that if the wrong information is what's going to get the highest rating, then well, that's what people are going to see first.
Yeah, and Google's so not going to care.
And Google doesn't give a shit, doesn't take sides politically. It's a computer bug. It doesn't know what the fuck you're thinking or looking for. It just knows how to search keywords, and that's weird math I couldn't even begin to understand.
It's Skynet. Let's just call it what it is. It's Skynet.
I thought that was Siri, but okay.
No, it's Google. Google's going to be the one that's going to be, yeah, that's Skynet.
Yeah, but yeah, like you were saying, like, everybody has to, we have to figure out, I think we have to figure out either what we can all agree on, and let's put that out there, or at least let's put aside our differences and focus on what's important.
And that's true. And I think a lot of this is boiling down to, because we're under such pressure right now and we're under an attack, and at the same time, while we're under attack, a lot of our allies are starting to come out going, well, you know what? I really don't understand. And like you said, there's a lot of trans people saying, it's not my job to educate you. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with you there that, yeah, it is. I don't mean to be that way. And I know that's an unpopular opinion, but if you've listened to the past, 20 episodes, I got lots of unpopular opinions.
Yeah. And you can say, it is your job, but it doesn't have to be a full-time job.
That's true. It does not have to be a full-time job. It can be an occasional job. But still, we have to put out that information, and I can see people getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And when we get frustrated, we are trans individuals. We're still human beings.
Yeah.
We still snap. We still fracture. We still do all these things. And I think in our community, it's a little harder because most of us are at the teenage level of hormonal balance.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is magnified and feelings are hurt and things like that over nonsensical crap.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we do have to figure out that way to work together. And we do need to not, you're right, Tanan just mentioned that we're so small. We're marginalized of marginalized. We are really, really tiny. But there are more of us than most people think.
That's true.
And we need to figure out how to not only work together, but keep that voice loud enough that the actual allies who can do things and create change can help us until we either A, have the numbers, which, who knows, that may never happen, or B, we have enough individuals in positions to affect the correct change.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's important in the grand scheme of all of it. So, I mean, if you're getting into arguments over things like politics, well, just remember, everybody's got their own opinion. Mine doesn't always line up with Steph's. Steph's is not going to always line up with AJ's. Hell, mine don't always line up with AJ's.
Even my cat, who I worship and he idolizes me, we have disagreements.
Of course. Okay, I'm going to let that one go because that one was too easy. Yeah, that was a little crazy there. Anyway, but so politics aside, I mean, we're always going to have that issue.
Right.
But this, are you trans enough crap? I'm sorry, if you listen to this show, do me a favor. Anytime you see that crap, whether it be ironic or not, put an end to it.
You could look like, I'm going to just throw a rant, you could look like LeBron James. And you can go every day, you can go until you're 90 years old and not come out of the closet and die with a facial hair and muscular. And if you identified as trans, you're trans fucking enough.
That's right. So do your girl a favor. You see that crap, kill it. Because we need that, I think, is a huge issue. And so we cannot be fighting amongst ourselves anymore. We have to be unified. Otherwise, what's happened in Tennessee, what the what's happening in Florida. That's just going to happen elsewhere.
Almost happened in Texas.
Almost happened in Texas.
And we put out the most despicable one of all. And
I know.
Who's to say one of these smaller states couldn't try to like push that through?
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly. I really wouldn't. But yeah, exactly. If we're not unified, we can't get the rights that we want. We can't get the freedoms we want. We can't get what we're missing. And we can't be fighting amongst ourselves and have a unified voice. So we've got to figure out a way where we can mitigate that. And I think things like getting rid of the "Are you trans enough?" crap, and everybody realizing that it doesn't matter how you get your hormones. The point is, you got them.
Or even if you have them, if you haven't gotten them yet.
Yeah, if you haven't gotten them, you can. And if that's if you want to. There are trans individuals who never do, and they have no interest in taking them. And that's okay.
I would like to have bottom surgery. I've made that vocal. But when I go out in the world, I tell people I'm a woman. It doesn't matter if I have had the surgery or not.
No.
I was telling people I was a woman before I had hormones, before I grew my hair long, before I changed my name. I don't need a piece of paper from the federal government saying I'm a woman.
Yeah, well, we're not all going to get carded and shit.
No, I'm glad I got it, but I didn't need it. It was affirming, but it wasn't like,
it is. I get what you're saying.
But
so, anyways,
yeah, but it wasn't necessary.
Right. So yeah, we got to put an end to that. And speaking of hormones,
okay,
and people being on hormones, one of the things I had mentioned was people saying one type of hormone therapy is superior to another, and you're not really trans unless you're getting injections or whatever. So we're going to kind of shift gears a little bit and be a little more informational, a little bit less, I was going to say a lot less opinionated, but I mean, for sake, it's me. I mean, I'm opinionated 24/7.
But just as your sister, because you've been sore throat, no PBS voice today.
No PBS voice.
Not right now.
Jeez, you take all the fun out of everything. Girl screams or screams.
I'm looking out for you.
Girl has a good time and screams so loud she goes hoarse, and then it's, no, you can't be doing the PBS. You got to watch your vocal tones. You got to watch all that. My response is, I don't give a shit. Okay, I do give a shit.
Okay.
So,
TMI, by the way.
If you're listening to this and you know what that means, what I just said, and you know what all that means, you probably agree. That ain't TMI. You probably already knew half of that.
I was here. I already knew. And I slept through it.
Which is surprising. Anyway, before this turns into something horrible. So yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the different types of HRT. Now, I did a little research on this. And I know we kind of touched on this slightly last time. We talked about things like this, but it's kind of interesting how there's not a lot of data concerning trans women, and even less concerning trans men. So we kind of talked a little bit about health concerns that exist, things such as blood clots and stuff like that. But we know that when you take your hormones, you're putting yourself through a second puberty. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of allies out there and a lot of very supportive people that look at us funny and go, why in the hell would you go through that? Well, I say in my case, I forgot what it was like the first time and just totally didn't even think about it. But I think things like that, when we go through this, it's kind of worth it to us. Yeah, it's a bitch. And it doesn't matter if you're trans feminine or trans masculine. It is a bitch.
Right, because you're going through changes your body isn't used to.
Right.
And our bodies are, especially if you're transitioning later in life, your body gets, you know, it gets used to things being a certain way. And it, our bodies are just like our Republicans. They don't like change.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, they're all old people, so.
I see what she had there. I caught that. I caught that. You thought you were going to get past me, but you're not. No. Mm. And we kind of know, like, so most of the data is going to be kind of concerned towards trans feminine individuals. So we do know things like what that does to our body. We know about the redistribution of body fat, you know, the fun stuff that we all look forward to.
Tits. Let's say it.
Tits. Yeah, and sometimes you get a banging set. But there's all kinds of different types, and there's different ways of taking your medication, your hormones. Usually it breaks down into two different categories. Oral and non-oral. And no, I'm not being dirty. I mean, basically, oral is pill form, you know, things like the Spiro for the testosterone blockers, the estradiol, which a lot of us take, and we take it correctly now, so please don't scold me anymore, thank you, Madam Conductor.
When we remember to take it.
Yes, feel free, Madam Conductor, to scold her, because I learned my lesson. Apparently, she did not. Anyway, and the non-oral is either topical or injections.
Mm-hmm.
And topical can be both creams or pads. Patches.
Right.
Pads, same difference.
Right.
But the thing about each way it's done is it is essentially absorbed different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And each one has its own health risk. For example, pills, when you take those HRT pills, they usually get digested. Now, the estrogen part, if you're taking a certain form, because we have learned that there are some with that don't do this, there is a mass majority of them that you dissolve under your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean there aren't versions that you don't swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? But when you swallow those pills, they go into your bloodstream via digestion. And what that ends up doing is it basically means they're pushed through your liver. And some of the medications, like Spiro, have a record and a tendency sometimes to be a little hard on the liver, which is why, you know, your medical professional, and I want to stress this real quick, don't do any of this without a medical professional. Don't. Because you can do some serious damage to yourself. But they will treat for things that you wouldn't think of. Because if you have certain issues with your liver because of the Spiro, well, unless it's being looked for by a medical professional, you may never know it until it's too late. And they're telling you, yep, your liver failed. Guess what? We're going to see if you can get a transplant, but maybe not. And that can be very scary. But at the same time, that might be a way to get those things, because the patches and the topical creams, well, they can leave rashes. And they can leave areas of the skin very tender. Topical creams are even more infrequently used because once you put it on, you kind of have to think when you put it on and where you put it on. Is anybody going to accidentally touch you in that position? Because a topical cream takes time to absorb into the skin to the point where what's up sitting on the surface isn't really viable anymore. So, I mean, it could be one of those things where I've got that on my, let's say, my upper arm. I put some sort of progesterone or estradiol cream on my arm, and someone comes along and touches me on the arm. Well, they have the risk, if I'm wearing like my tank tops or something, of absorbing a little bit of that through their skin. So that's another thing that you have to think about. Now, the injections are another thing because injections themselves, there's a lot of people like me who are needle phobic. Now, I've gotten a lot better than I was when I was younger because when I was younger, I jacked up some orderlies just trying to take my blood. And injections can be, they can leave bruises. They can be psychologically hard to deal with. And plus, you're piercing your skin. That hurts a little. And some people don't have a high pain tolerance.
Or if you're someone like me, I'm, getting poked by my doctor and getting giving blood. I'm getting needles shoved in my arm all the time. I don't know if I want another needle in my arm.
Exactly. You don't know. And so there are always risks and complications with each type of method. Now, it's kind of a general consensus within the medical community that even though things like bruising and, of course, the little pinch when you give yourself an injection, that the injectable hormone therapy is kind of the safest. And it's the safest, and I'm going to use the air quotes under safest, because essentially that hormone is broken down already into its most easily absorbed nature. So it doesn't have to be metabolized through the digestive system and then into the liver and then into this and then into that. It's in its most simplistic form. But it's not a superior thing. It's considered safer on things such as your liver, but it can also be just as hard on other things. Usually, that particular one, depending upon what you're taking, because again, just like the estrogen pills, there's a numerous amount of different types, and each doctor is going to know what to do. That's usually given like you either do one a week, one every 2 weeks, somewhere in there. And in the research I've done, I've noticed that there is a downside to that in because of how that goes into your bloodstream and things like that. It can be a little harder for your medical professionals to track and dial in that dosage. It takes a little longer to dial in that dosage, which, I mean, let's face it, that can lead to psychological issues such as feeling like you're never going to get to your goals. And at the same time, if they get it wrong and they give you way too much, that can be dangerous too. Patches are the same way. Patches, it's a little harder to say, okay, you're actually getting, it's harder to tweak for the medical professionals. And so we have to understand that those are, while they're safer because of how they metabolize than, say, pills, they're also, they add in an additional amount of stress as to getting that dialed in. And I think that's a lot of why doctors want to go with the pills over anything else, because it's a little easier for them to dial in such a small dosage. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and nor did I play one on TV.
No.
But yeah, and then, you know, we talk about the pills, and we've talked about their side effects, and they take a little longer. They really do. I'm not even gonna lie, they do take a little longer. And so I know that it's always best. Even I am guilty of sometimes going, no, I want this. I want this. This is what I want. And it's always important that we talk with our medical professionals, because our medical professionals are going to be the ones that really, they really are going to dial it in for us. And they're really going to say, this is where you need to go. I'm stubborn with my doctor. I mean, when he upped my estrogen not that long, well, 3 months ago, it's been a while. I even came back to him and go, that doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound like it's high enough. I think we should go higher. And of course, you know, you have to trust that doctor. And mine looked at me and goes, let's give this a chance. Let's see if this does what we need to. And then when our next visit comes around, we'll see if we have to up it anymore. Maybe we do. Maybe we don't. So, yeah, I mean, those different types of hormone therapy, they're going to affect your body in different ways and in different times. You know, injections, like we said, the easiest to absorb. So your body's going to start processing it faster, which means you might start getting boobs faster. If you're a trans man and you're taking testosterone shots, you might start getting facial hair faster. You know, you might start getting body hair faster. If you're trans feminine, you might start seeing your legs, your glutes, some of your muscle groups and your fat groups start to redistribute faster. It's a general consensus from what I can tell. That it's considered injections are the fastest, followed by patches slash creams, but a lot of doctors don't really say don't do creams anymore. I'm finding more and more that that's kind of gone to the wayside. Not that they still don't, but a lot of them just there's other methods. And then finally, pills as far as speed. But a lot of doctors, they do that stuff the other way. They'll start you on pills, they'll move you to this, and then they'll move you to that, based on whatever. So yeah, it's important that you always work with that medical care professional, because they're going to be the ones that are they're going to know your history. And also, be very upfront with them. Be very, very, very upfront. And don't let anything get in the way, because if you're not upfront with them, they can't give you a real clear picture. And they don't get a real clear picture. And that can lead to a lot of being upset and not happy where everything is. And yeah, I mean, and as this is kind of since we're talking about HRT, there is one thing, no matter which version you're on, I kind of want to say to everybody. And that is be patient. Okay? Even if you don't have teenage kids, teenage nieces, nephews, or anything. You have to remember you got to be patient. Okay? These things take time to work. And I've learned that because, yeah, I get an impatient. It took me 4 years to get to HRT. And when I started HRT, I wanted boobs right then. I wanted to take estrogen for a week, have a nap, wake up with boobs. It did not work that way.
No.
I wish it did.
I've been on it for a year, and I'm still wondering where the hell they are.
See? And that's another thing where we're different.
Mm-hmm. Not jealous at all.
Bullshit.
Okay.
So,
I want to, if it's okay, I'd like to back up a couple of things you said. First, going back to the very beginning, I sat down with my doctor, and she explained all the different methods, and you know, she before she even gave me anything, she tested my liver, she tested my blood, she tested my urine and all that stuff. And she's like, okay, here's the facts. If I do this method, you're going to need to make some changes. If I do this method, it's less likely you're going to need to make those changes. She said, I mean, we had a discussion. I opted for pills, but because I opted for pills, I have to see another doctor and I have to take other medications regularly. She has threatened to take me off the pills and put me on something else. I say threatened because, you know, she's not going to take me off of estrogen entirely, but it's money. I'm, you know, it's the pills are the cheapest form. So for me, it's like, yeah, I want the cheapest form. But also, if I have to go see another doctor and take all these other medications, am I saving money? You see what I mean? Like, you have to listen to your doctor.
There's
a lot of different factors that go into it that you don't think about when you're sitting there in the waiting room, which is like, yeah, it's going to be $150 for a patch or $45 for a bottle of pills. You're just sitting there thinking, well, duh.
Yeah. You really are.
Then you're like, wait a second, a doctor visit every other month plus all this other, which to be fair, I probably needed all this other medication anyways, but yeah. What I wanted to really get down to the heart of it is like you said, listen to your doctor. And you said it day one, very first episode of the podcast. What was the thing you said?
Results are not typical.
We've been saying it all along. Just Robin and I started HRT almost the same time.
Yep. Almost.
And we're almost the same age.
Yep. Almost.
And we're very similar. We're almost the same height. And
yeah, close.
Similar build. She's a little, I hate to say more muscular than me, and I'm a little mushier.
I believe the term is squishy.
Yeah, I was going to say fluffy, but whatever.
I think squishy is better.
Yeah. But we're I mean, if you sat down and just looked at us on a chart, we really shouldn't be that different.
Not
really. We are as different as you can get.
Yup.
So really, it's like you have no idea what's going to go into your body and how your body's going to react.
You don't.
And
now,
your doctor can't predict it.
No, they can suggest things. Like, I know my doctors, when they looked at stuff, they talked to me about what things I can expect. And basically, they just gave you the what can you expect? You can expect this, this, and this. And it was that whole medical umbrella thing that, well, even if it's only a slight change, I guess technically they were correct. But my doctors, they also went, now I have to tell you that because that's the medical thing. But in my personal opinion, I think you might see this. This is not a medical opinion. This is something that, based on what they see, they think is a possibility. And that's how they presented it to me, was this is a possibility. This might not happen, but it could happen. And that's kind of where, like, the results are not typical and part of my anomalies stuff comes from. And, so, I mean, listen to your medical professional for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, to quote a certain someone, if you're on them, take them. And take them correctly.
Yeah, and we I think we've both discovered that, one, you don't want to get impatient, and two, you don't want to be inconsistent.
Absolutely.
My doctor was planning on upping my dosage this go around. And she put me on I'm going to keep you on the same dosage for 6 more months.
Uh-huh.
Because I had missed a few times. Because
you missed it.
And she was like, let's just see how things go at this level before we make any changes. And, you know, I was really, really, really good until this last week, and then I missed it 3 days in a row. And I'm saying I took nothing.
Not a
not
thing.
HRT. I didn't take my my general health medical medicine, you know,
None of it.
any none of it. I didn't take any pills for 3 days. And I'll by the time Saturday rolled around, some of you may have noticed I was a wreck.
Well, that's, yeah, I was going to say a major mess wrapped inside a dumpster fire inside a train wreck.
Sure.
But
I was gone. It
it
was
was
bad.
bad. It was
So,
bad.
and that's, you know, Robin and I sat down and figured out part of it was we had some unresolved issues that we had to hash out. Some of it was not just us, but things. I had things I had to hash out. Some of it was I went 3 days without my medicine.
And that's not fun.
And that's the part that we can talk about here, because it's like I can tell you right now, and I know Robin probably can too. I feel a difference, especially now. I've been on it for almost a year, and I feel so different now than I did a year ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I could feel the regression happening those 3 days. By the time Saturday rolled around, I was like, I am almost back to my, I hate myself, I hate my life, I hate everything.
And that is definitely the thing. When you take them, you definitely feel, you feel different, and you kind of feel better. And how much of that is the act of taking them, and how much of it is the actual hormone itself? I don't know, because that's another piece of medical data that is missing or highly disputed right now. I know for myself. Yeah, I've been taking them. I've been very consistent. I made sure. Yeah, I did some dumb shit. Like I may have over-medicated a little bit because I had leftovers from one prescription and the doctor wrote me a new prescription. So I'm like, well, I don't want to waste these pills. So, well, what happens if I just add this to what I'm supposed to be taking? And I got interesting results from that. I would not recommend that at all. In fact, don't do that. That's just stupid. And then the other thing too, I will say is I've noticed a bit of a I've started noticing changes that I was looking for before, and I wasn't quite seeing them start happening and becoming more visible when I started taking the things correctly. And so that's very important. So in that regard, and I'm going to say this on the air, but this is a message directed to you, Steph. We're going to play the fun game.
Uh-oh.
So in that damn regard, thank you, Tabby. Thank you for scolding me to take my damn medications correctly.
I was going to be a little more subtle, and I was going to reference the fact that my cat is a tabby cat, and I was just going to say the
And so the game of can we make Tabby cry on every episode
continue.
begins.
Yes. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Oh, that's just it's almost too much fun. Anyway, how about we really lighten the mood, but give a little bit of insight into ourselves today?
Yeah, I'm all for that.
And it's time for this week's top five. And I don't care what you said. I'm going to use my PBS voice for this start of this one.
That's fine.
Because today's top five, this week's wonderful top five, is our top five go-tos to relax. And I mean activities. What do we do when we're stressed and we need to relax and recenter? All right, enough of that shit.
Even I'm over here falling asleep.
I know. I was like, what the hell? All right. So let's start. Steph, what's your number five?
So my this is my number five because it's the one I don't do the most, but it's one of those like when I do it, it's sort of like I really need it. And I watch a comfort movie. I'm not gonna sit here and list all my comfort movies because that may be a top five for another day. But one of them I get to, I will say, and it doesn't have to make sense, but one of my comfort movies is Can't Hardly Wait. It just it's one of those rare movies, no matter how bad of a mood I'm in, I put that on, I start to feel better. And there are a handful of movies that can do that. They're, you know, we watched one of them on Saturday. Saturday, after I had my crisis, and that's The Phantom Menace. That movie cheers me up and puts me in a good mood. But we didn't watch it because of that. We were having Star Wars marathon and other fun stuff. But I like to watch a good relaxing movie, and it doesn't have to be, you know, like something like, you know, I don't know off the top of my head, Terms of Endearment or whatever. It doesn't have to be a slow, you know, or whatever. Mumford is a pretty mellow movie. I don't know if you've ever seen it. Something like that. But it could be, you know, whatever it is. If I'm really stressed, sometimes I just need to sit down, put on a movie, and that knocks me out. Puts me in the zone.
Okay. All right. Movies. Yeah. You know, that's a good way to do it because you kind of get lost in the stories.
But television doesn't work for that purposes. Television stresses me out. Because I'm always sitting here like, if I'm watching a series on DVD, I'm sitting here like, give me one more episode. Oh, God damn it, I'm at the end of the disc. Or if I'm watching a season, I'm like, oh, no, it's time to start a new season. I don't know why. That stresses me out.
Okay. I can understand that. All right. Yeah. My number five is probably a very, well, I'm not going to say, never mind, that's not right. I was going to say it's kind of a guy thing, but it's not really, because there's a lot of trans individuals who do the same thing. I kind of slip into video games. I don't play as often as I used to. But I've got several of them that I can just kind of slip into, get absorbed, and just let it go and just be lost in it. And that kind of helps me relax and refocus. Like, it's probably counter to the whole relaxation theme, but I mean, I can turn on Red Dead Online and just get lost in that character, get lost in what's going on around me, paying attention to the stories and the characters and other players when they come on. And I just kind of get lost, or, you know, even go as far as things as like the Arkham series, the Batman games. There's something therapeutic about beating up CGI bad guys. I don't know why, but yeah, it's something that I go to not very often anymore, because sometimes games can, especially if I'm already really stressed, if I'm playing a game and suddenly get stuck, That's bad, because then I get even more stressed out. But yeah, video games are going to be my number five. What's your number four?
Well, it's funny you say video games, because my number four is actually a specific video game.
Okay.
It's Minecraft. Minecraft is the only video game that soothes me. It's the only video game I can go to if I'm stressed or I need to relax. It doesn't matter. Every other video game stresses me out, even when I'm having fun. One of the reasons for that, I suck. I literally do. I suck at games. Video games aren't all competitive, but sometimes they are, because you're competing against the CPU. And to me, I don't like losing, and I lose a lot, so I feel like a loser. So I play Minecraft, because you cannot lose at Minecraft, because you are God in Minecraft, and I like that.
Okay, there is a lot of layers to that one, sweetheart. And, yeah, okay.
Sometimes I play it a lot of different ways, but sometimes when I'm super stressed, I'll just create a flat world. And I'll just go in and build a forest. Just create a forest.
Build a bunch of happy little trees.
Mm-hmm.
Here we have the happy little trees.
Sometimes I'll create a small world.
And his, you know, little
populated
friends.
With people. And I'll go around and I'll flood it and watch them all drown.
No, folks. That's not morbid at all.
Like I said, I like to play God.
Someone's got a God complex. Okay. All right. My number four is kind of multifaceted. There's several people, if you've interacted with me, you know I like to play tabletop games. One of my favorites is by a company called Games Workshop out of the UK, and it's the Warhammer series, and I'm a really big fan of the Age of Sigmar, which used to be the Warhammer Fantasy game, but they've updated it, and I really like it. But that requires me to do something else. So before I can tabletop game, I have to put these damn things together. And it's not just put them together. You don't just snap them together and off you go. You build these things. They're a classic multi-piece model kit. You know, there's a lot of us who probably did that as a kid. I did some as a kid, and I never stopped. I still do it. Steph can tell you.
I do sometimes. Not nearly on the same level as you do, but I like models.
Right, and that's what I do, is I build models. I'll build my little gaming models. I'm also pretty big into the Gundam models. I build tons of those. I do aircraft. You know, I mean, it's not very girly, but sometimes I do tanks, too. I like tanks. I like things that go explode a phone on things. I do all kinds and put them together. And building them is very therapeutic for me. And a lot of times when I do it, I'll just shut everything out and focus on all the tiny little pieces. Depending upon what I'm building, if I'm building an aircraft, I'll not just get lost in the little bitty pieces. I'll also get kind of lost in the research on it. And, oh, is this the right colors? Things like that. And so that's really something that it's not a typical hobby that a lot of trans individuals have. But what the hell do I care? I'm not a typical trans individual. So yeah. Whatever, you know. But that's my number four. So, Steph, what's your number three?
It's pretty basic, whatever, but I like to go for a walk. Sometimes I just have to get out of the house and just walk, go for a walk in the park, walk around the mall, walk to Walmart, just walk out in the woods. It doesn't matter. Sometimes I just need to be outside. Just need to be walking by myself. I do this a lot. Now, sometimes it's going for a walk with someone else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my parents, a friend, theoretically, a potential partner, who knows? A dog, my cat, whatever. But sometimes I just need to be by myself. And the best way to do that is to just start walking.
Yep, just start walking.
And I don't need a park. It's nice to go to a park, but I just walk around in the backyard. Sometimes I'll just walk around my bedroom.
Yep.
I mean, to me, it's the same thing. It's a walk is a walk. For me, as long as I'm moving and I can tune everything else out, that's where I do my best thinking. That's where I do my most calming.
Okay.
And Robin may have seen a lot of times I would get super stressed. I'd go for a walk. I'd come back, and I'm in a good mood again.
Yeah, a lot of times that does. It's like, you know, some people have different hobbies and things like that. And Steph's is one of those when she's all flustered. I just kind of want to go, just go for a damn walk. I can't deal with you right now. Just go for a walk.
And sometimes I just walk outside and pace around the front yard.
Yeah.
Come back in and I'm like, I'm good.
You're good. You're good. Okay. Yeah. Well, my number three is kind of similar. Mine's a little more than just walking. Though that is one of my primary right now things is for me, it's exercise and music. And the reason I kind of put them in the same thing is when I exercise, I do something that Adrena and I say, I go and hide my headphones. And basically all that means is I just put the headphones on or the earbuds in and just play whatever music that gets me into the workout mood or gets me de-stressed. And while I'm exercising and making myself feel better because I'm improving my physical form. And that's a very important thing to me right now is like all the exercising I do. Yeah, I have a goal and we haven't really talked about that goal yet. So I'm not going to really say it too loud. There's a handful of you who are listening. Know. But yeah, I exercise is my thing. I also have a goal of wanting to fit into certain clothing. And that's all me. I don't do it for anybody else, but it's relaxing as you really just kind of, the stress just burns off with like the calories that burn. It's really, you know, it, gives me a level head. And so that's one way I think we're really similar. You're walking, am I more than just walking, the actual exercise is about the same. So what's your number two?
Well, again, mine's pretty simple. I just take a bath. Sometimes I just take a hot bath. Sometimes I just take a cold bath. Sometimes I just take a nap in the bath, which I never pour the water full enough that's dangerous. And I can't sleep on my back. I have to sleep on my stomach. So again, I'm good.
But okay.
Sometimes I just lie there, close my eyes, and just drift off as much as I can without going all the way to sleep. Sometimes I go all in, turn all the lights off, light a couple candles, have a very specific playlist of music, put it on, get into the tub, bubble bath and all, and I just sit there and I could use a bath right now, in fact. And this is high on my list because this isn't something I do very often, but it's one of those things when I need it, I go to it. This is one of those that it's like, because it's cleansing, but it's also like it's relaxing, you know?
Yeah.
And sometimes it's like, you know, the movie's not going to do it, or maybe going for a walk, I'm too tired, but I can take a bath and I don't have to be tired. Even if I am tired, I can take a bath.
Yeah.
You know? And sometimes it's just like, you know, well, there's also the cleanliness thing too, and I like being clean and fresh and whatnot. But yeah, sometimes there's days where I'll get up, take a shower, put on my clothes, do my things, and then in the afternoon I'm like, you know what, I still need a bath. I just need to be the fuck lax.
Yep. Yeah. All right, well, I can see that. That's a pretty relaxing thing. My number two comes as no surprise to anybody. Because my number two is cooking. I don't know if I've mentioned it here. I know I've mentioned it on my Patreon page there under the Robin's Thoughts. My kitchen is to me a sanctuary, and it's a sacred place to me. It's sacred to the point of when Stephanie's in there cooking, I'm nervous. And not because Stephanie's in there cooking, but there's somebody else in my kitchen that's not me. And it's very strange. It's like I'm slightly territorial too. So this is my kitchen, you know, this is my sanctuary. Cooking really just, it relaxes me. It lets me clear my mind. It lets me be creative. And at the end, I've got something that I can share with others that's usually pretty tasty. Not everything I do that comes out of the kitchen's good, but most of it is. And I really just, it can calm and center me real easily. So, yeah, my number two is cooking. So, Steph, what's your number one?
So this is a very specific, but it's also kind of, you know, I don't know, schoolgirl or whatever, but it's, I wrote down daydream, but it's not just sit in my bed and, you know, watch a movie in my head. It's very specific. I have to be alone. There cannot be anyone else in the house. And this is my number one way I relax the most. And this is one of the reasons why I've been so stinking stressed all the time, is I don't have this anymore right now. But I turn all the lights off, I close all the curtains, and I basically pace the floors, and I go into my mind, into my, I'm not going to say happy place, but, you know, I go into my other world, and I, you know, sometimes I play out scenarios. Sometimes I'm trying to survive a zombie apocalypse. Sometimes I'm the only person left on Mars. Sometimes it's your pretty basic stuff. You know, I just won the lottery and I try to imagine what my house would look like, or what's my wedding day going to be like, things like that. But this really is where I go in and just erase everything and create a whole new world in my brain. And sometimes I'll have a really good, I'm not going to say session, but sometimes I'll come out of it and I'll like, oh my God, I just got an idea. And now I'm writing a story or a book or, and I, you know, think, so this is not just relaxing, but it's how I get into my zone. I've been out of it because I'm living with other people. I can't just say, hey, can you guys leave the house for an hour? Because, you know, they won't. Or, you know, and going grocery shopping is not enough time.
Not usually.
So, yeah, that's one of the things that really, that I mean, that's my number one, because it's, I mean, I lived alone, but like, you know, yeah, I spent a lot of time by myself just making up lives and thoughts and stories and dreams and stuff, and that's where I get centered.
Okay. Not a bad way to do it. My number one, again, is not really a shock, because we've talked a little bit about this before, but my number one is my photography. And I can be... something about my photography, I can be having the just shittiest day possible. And this used to happen a lot when I was working in the retail businesses. I could get just the shittiest day and someone come along and I grab my camera, put my camera in my hands, and it's all gone. It's all gone. My camera would just like absorb all that stress. It also lets me be very creative and very just kind of fun. I like to do fun shoots, and I like to do all kinds of stuff because I can shoot inanimate objects. I can shoot people. I can shoot landscapes, animals, all of it. And so, yeah, my photography is kind of my big go-to. If I'm in a bad mood, even AJ's done it to me. You know, she's got, just grab your damn camera. Just grab the damn camera and you're going to be better. And usually I can be in an insufferable mood where nobody wants to be around me. And even those who tolerate all my bullshit will not be around me, like my brother Will. And he's extremely patient. But there's times when I'm so insufferable because I'm stressed, he won't even be around me. And all it takes is for somebody to go, here's your camera, go shoot. And that's it. All that stress is gone. I can walk out the door mumbling and bitching and complaining, and I'm going to come back through that door when I'm done smiling and happy and I love y'all so much, and just, it's a complete reversal. So, yeah, my photography is my number one go-to activity for the thing.
I want to say two things on that.
Uh-huh.
Because of the things I've observed. One, I have seen you in your worst, and I was like, oh my God, I was literally scared that she was going to like throw a frying pan through the kitchen sink or whatever. She goes in there, she cooks supper, she comes back, and I'm like, hi, Robin, I missed you.
Yeah.
It does happen. But I'm going to call bullshit on the photography, because every morning I hand you a camera and you're like, get that out of my fucking face.
First off, bullshit. You don't hand me a damn camera. This is going to be a rant full of swears. So if you have sensitive ears or children, cover them now. Bullshit. You don't hand me a damn camera. You hand me a fucking phone.
But if it centered you, it wouldn't matter.
Bullshit. Okay. It's not a camera. The fucking phone is doing everything. I have zero control over them pushing a freaking stupid-ass button.
Okay.
And if you're listening to that rant, and I apologize, oh my God, if you know someone who's a photographer, okay, and your family, friend, whatever, significant other, and you ask them to take a picture, and you really legit want them to take a picture, do not hand them a goddamn phone. It's an insult.
I, I laugh, but she's not wrong. I was a professional photographer for a brief moment. I photographed weddings, and I was that way. I was like, you know what? Put your phone away. I've got a camera.
Yeah. So she does it to piss me the hell off. And guess what? She gets that rant every damn morning.
Yes.
But every morning.
It turns into good supper, so that was my end goal.
She pissed me off. Now I got to cook. Get all the stress out. She's ruining my photography. She ruins a lot of things I love.
Oi.
Well, that was our top five, which means we're at the end of our show,
mm-hmm.
which means we got to do a couple of things because we didn't really do them in the intro.
Okay.
We have to thank one of our newest Patreon subscribers.
Yeah.
I got to call you out on it. Tananda, thank you. And by the way, I want to point out, her being on the show was not because she was going to become a Patreon subscriber. That is just completely unrelated and mm-hmm. just one of those things. Thank you. We love you.
We might not plan every episode out in advance, but we plan our interviews out a good ways in advance.
We do. We do. So, yes, we thank you. If you're not one of our Patreon subscribers or supporters, I'm going to recommend that you please do so. You can go to patreon.com/transposedpod and throw us a few bucks. I am going to admit there's probably a couple of you listening to this that listen to the Robin's Thoughts things. I haven't uploaded one in a little while, a little longer than I really wanted to. But as you probably know, your girl was not always in a good place. Had some issues. But at the same time, that's a big benefit. If you go on there, you get a special little 15-minute audio blog of whatever's going on with the bag of cats I call my brain. And, yeah, so go to again, patreon.com/transposedpod and consider throwing us a few bucks. We'd appreciate it. Every time you do, it makes our show just a little bit better because we can stop acting so amateurish and actually, you know, put out a really good product. Also, if you're not doing so already, follow us on Twitter mm-hmm. and Facebook at Transposed Pod. Just search for the at Transposed Pod on either of those platforms. We're there.
Mm-hmm.
I will say our Twitter account does get updated a little more than our Facebook. And a little secret for those of you listening. If you interact with the Transposed Podcast Twitter page, you might just maybe be interacting with AJ, and we all know mm-hmm. we all know Steph and I we both know how much the listeners love AJ.
Yes.
They if and she we, came on more often, we would not be you and I wouldn't be on this show,
and we have it on good authority she likes y'all too.
And yeah, she does, she likes y'all. So go on there at Transposed Pod. Stephanie, where can they find you on the social medias?
Well, if you Google the Spider's Lair, and if you put the hash, if you find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, and if you type in the Spider's Lair blog, you can find me over on the Facebook, where I'm just sort of ramble and talk about random stuff sometimes. But Twitter is where I make my primary home.
Yep, and you can find me at Robin Allura. You can always make posts. You can DM. I talk to everybody and anybody. You can also email us through the show.
Mm-hmm.
transposedpod@gmail.com. And, yeah, so interact with us, talk with us. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us everything you need, anything and everything. We're here. I just hiccuped.
And don't forget to tell us that you love me more.
Oh shit! Oh, I'm sorry. I coughed. I'm.
You're getting
oh.
your voice back, though. That's good.
I am. I've got my voice back. Yeah. Woo.
Yeah.
So
just in time for Monday Night Raw.
That's right.
Gotta do some yelling at that TV.
I am so gonna do some yelling at that TV, y'all.
I was yelling at it last night when the motherfucking Mavericks got eliminated from the playoffs. I was like, ah.
She watches. I don't know. Actual sports, and then makes fun of my wrestling because it's fake sport. And every time she says that, I want to slap the shit out of her.
I was told I can't call it fake sports because she's not allowed to call me fake news.
That's not a joke. That's serious. So thank you all for joining us this week. We hope you enjoy it. Again, interact with us. Social media. Let us know you like us, you don't like us. You think we're the best there ever is and ever was, or you think we're a bunch of dumbasses. I don't know. But please, please interact with us. And remember, we all love you.
Yep.
We really do. So until next time, everybody take care.